Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to make a clarification on SBC, and that is that we would like to have, if you're a sophomore in high school or above, we'd like to have you in that class. We took the last paper copy of the series out of the bookstore, but I understand that you can get it online. And if you wanted to get a hold of that, Larry has information about how to do it. And it doesn't say any announcement, but we'd like you to have the first lesson done when you come to class. Every lesson involves some reading, and then there are some questions that you answer. Go through scriptures and provide the answers. And it's not just limited to high school students. If there are adults here that haven't had it, we would highly recommend that you take it. It's one of the things we really urge everyone to do that come here. We're going to continue in Jude, and we're going to look at verse 16. We have... We've been looking at characteristics of apostates, and this is the last verse that deals with that. And when we get done with this, and we're going to turn the corner and quit talking about apostates, and we're going to talk about what we're supposed to do about it. So that'll be coming down the line. But let's read, just for context, verses 11 through 16. As we review what are characteristics of apostates. It says, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast, when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. And about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage." Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, as we look now at this verse in Jude, that you would direct our hearts to what your word is trying to tell us. So we pray for your wisdom and your grace as we look at this word now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. I mean, we've been getting hammered for the last few lessons on this about what are these characteristics of apostates, and this verse 16, probably the plainest of some of the characteristics that Jude brings out. And it's probably not anything that hasn't been in the church since its early days, and there are a lot of people that think we're not very far from fulfilling all this in the 21st century with the way that the modern church is going. So there's three earmarks here that are called out for in the falling away of apostates. And so verse 16 describes, you've got three descriptive terms which bring to mind that which is kind of summarizing what we've read in from verse 11. And first it says that there are grumblers, That's New American Standard. I think the King James uses the word murmurers. And I think murmurers is, to me, is a better word when it's describing what's going on than grumblers is. And murmurers reminds us of this murmuring that happened to the people of Israel when they were with Moses in the desert, and murmuring did not go over well with the Lord. And they're like complainers, and we know that earlier in Jude talked about some angels that were dissatisfied with their position and with the place that God had given them, and they came out of that and the Lord dealt with them. It says these are ones who walk after their own lust, and it again brings us back to the picture we had of Sodom and Gomorrah that was referenced here. And so you kind of have this trio or trinity of wicked works that's not unusual for what we've been reading in this letter. And so it's interesting that the first word, I'm going to use murmurers, but New American Standard calls it grumblers. It's nowhere else in the New Testament is it found in the noun form. Murmurers is actually, it's not an action, it is people that murmur. For example, in John 6:41, it says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread of life which came down out of heaven. Now that's really makes something to make you murmur, isn't it? They murmured, although he revealed to them that if they received him, they would never hunger again. Why would you want to murmur about that? They murmured even though he offered them everlasting life. That's something to murmur about, isn't it? Murmur, murmur, give me everlasting life. Why don't I like that? It's crazy. They murmured because he declared his deity. He claimed to have come down from heaven. And then there's the fact that believers have accepted over the centuries. But it's a fact that apostasy cannot endure. And the verses in John suggest that the primary application of Jude's word is not about, it's not murmuring against Christians, but rather it's murmuring against Christ. And although the murmuring could be spread pretty widely, it's clear that if a man can show apostasy in this way. And when Jesus ended this discourse on the bread of life, he knew himself that his disciples murmured about that. It says that in John 6:61. And it's interesting, from that time on, many of his disciples went back, and it says that they walked with him no more. And to go back after hearing the word of God is apostasy. Now, this has, many years ago when I did this series, it really, kind of a light came on to me that there's a passage in Hebrews chapter 6 that a lot of people struggle with. It talks about you've heard the word and you accepted it and then you fall away. And to me, this background in John chapter 6, to me, explains what that passage in Hebrews 6 is about. These were disciples of Jesus, walking with him, going with him. And then he talks about this business of him being the bread of life, and they walk away. They heard the word, and they walked away. No more with him. to me, that helps explain Hebrews 6 that people discuss. And to walk with him no more is to walk after your own lusts. To walk according to the course of this world, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. And in John and in Jude, such a walk falls with the sin of murmuring. And it's really something to beware of in the church. To me, the sin of murmuring, if you've ever been in a situation where it's going on, it's just like there's this undercurrent of unrest and there's no peace and you just feel like you're on edge, you're waiting for something to happen. Something's not right, people aren't happy, and it just affects everybody. And you get murmuring in the church, and it's like a cancer. And it's something that we need to be aware of, because murmuring is a sin that's just no mere weakness of the flesh. It's one of the hallmarks of apostasy, is murmuring. You know, Jude doesn't tell us what form this murmuring comes in, but Christ uses this word to establish its meaning, and he authorizes us to understand that it includes murmuring against the Lord's own revelation of the nature of his being, and it is virtual denial of his deity. Now, in Psalm 106, verses 24 to 26, there's a latter-day fulfillment of this. And it says, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them. This is, of course, a reference back to the people of Israel when they murmured against God in the desert. But 1 Corinthians 10:10 tells us not to grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. God does not like murmuring. And it's important to remember that. You know, the second earmark of apostasy is, again, a term that's found in Jude that's not used elsewhere in the New Testament, when he says that they are fault finders or complainers. I think New American Standard uses finding fault, and King James uses complainers. And we look again at the Gospels to shed some light on this text. The verb form of Jude's word occurs in Mark 7:2 where the Pharisees found fault. And if you look back in chapter 7 of Mark, they found fault because the Lord's disciples were eating grain with unwashed hands. That was their sin. They were eating with impure hands. And in verse 5, the complaint is found and says, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? And this brought forth one of the strongest rebukes that Christ ever administered. And he quoted Isaiah, and he says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For laying aside the commandment of God, they hold to the tradition of men. An important point of this is that whereas murmuring was directed against Christ, the fault-finding or the complaining was directed at his disciples. And it's easy to find fault with other believers, isn't it? And it really builds people up when you find fault. And we have to be careful. You know, the weakness of the flesh can cause even faithful Christians to be overtaken with this sin. So we must recognize the possibility that complaining in the church Well, number one, serves no purpose. And number two, chronic complainers may actually be apostates. When one man opens his mouth to attack or accuse a true Christian, he's doing the work of Satan. And that's referenced in 2 Corinthians 11:15. The Apostle Paul warned believers not to keep company with any man who is a railer, even though he is called a brother. That's pretty strong words. And it needs to be clearly understood that the Lord's words in Mark 7 condemn the laying aside of the commandments of God in favor of the traditions of men. Did God learn this business about washing your hands or not? What did Christ say? It's not what goes into the man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of man that creates the problems. And making the word of God to no effect and holding on to the traditions of men is apostasy wherever it's found. And the literal meaning of the word complainers or finding fault is given to those who are dissatisfied with their lot. And the example we had of this in Jude was the fallen angels. They didn't keep their own principality, their own habitation, but they left that abode and came to earth, and the Lord had to deal with them. And I think that we need to understand, as spiritual believers, we need to be very careful about complaining about the station of life that God has put us into. And sometimes that's easy to say. I mean, we might be in very difficult circumstances or situations. And yet, the Lord tells us in Philippians 4:11 that we are to be content with whatever state He has put us in. And that's not easy to say sometimes. And sometimes it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of patience to get through it. But God is faithful, and He will get us through it if we cling to Him. You ever be around somebody that complains all the time? Just makes you want to be with them, doesn't it? Reminds me of the old guys' coffee club that meets here on Tuesday morning. All you have to do is mention one medical procedure, and you can spend the next 45 minutes getting an education on all the different things that people have had done to them by the medical profession, and none of it is complimentary. So it's easy to complain. But in the church, it's destructive. It says, in the days of Moses, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them there that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the Lord made it clear He was displeased at the complaining in Mark 7. And so there can be no doubt that the Lord is displeased with His people when they find fault with the brethren. And for the third earmark of apostasy, we look at the Gospels and we find that the shed some light on this verse in Jude. Jude writes that these men are walking after their own lusts. And he uses the Greek word for lust found upon the lips of Christ in the parable of the sower. And I'd like to look at that real briefly in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And we're jumping into the middle of this parable. But this is the essentialness of what we want to look at. In verse 18, talking about the seed that has been cast out. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. An apostate is one who has heard the word and in a measure has received it, and then afterwards he rejects it. And it is such of the ones that the Lord is speaking here. Men who permit the lusts of other things to choke the word so that it does not bear fruit in them. And so Jude writes about this. He says, the lusts of other things enter in after the good seed of the word has been spoken and sown in people's hearts. And all that is in the world, and we all know this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that is mentioned in 1 John 2:16, come in. And when this happens, the word of God is choked out. And the work of God in the life of the believer is arrested short of what it needs to do. And the walk of the person becomes worldly and lustful. So in Mark, it tells us that it is lust that's said to choke out the word, and it makes it unfruitful. Another thing in Jude that lust goes beyond this and characterizes the walk. In 1 Peter, those who walk after their own lust says openly become scoffers after rejecting the word of God, and the cycle of this apostasy is complete. Old Testament example again is, it says, just as there were murmurers in Numbers 14:2 and complainers in Numbers 11:1 among the people who escaped from Egypt, so there were some who had greedy desires, a mixed multitude that accompanied the Jews out of Egypt. They were with Israel, but they were not of Israel. They were like the men who Jude writes, who creep in among God's people, and they turn the grace of God into licentiousness. And we know that such people existed in Moses' day, and they have been with the people of God throughout the history of the church. And so we hear their murmuring, their complaining, and sometimes we even see their fleshly walk. And one last thing is that's mentioned here at the end of this verse, and it says there's another side to the character of an apostate, and they flatter people with their words. And I, not very many occasions do I have opportunity to watch TV preachers on Sunday morning because I'm here. But I have seen some excerpts and some things on the computer, and there are some preachers out there that are so eloquent. I mean, I know they can sell ice cream to Eskimos. They just are fantastic speakers. And you hear this flattering speech, but you know what? There's no truth in it. It's all about social order and how we're going to make the world better through social work and that sort of thing. And there's no mention of the gospel. There is no mention of salvation. But there are appeals for money. And they become arrogant. And they use vain words to allure Christians with all kinds of promises that are unscriptural. I remember, I don't know how many of you remember when Lily and Marshawn had a, were you, Sally and I would pick her up, and a woman named Violet with her. I don't know if you remember Violet or not. But we'd pick them up, and Violet would start talking about this preacher, see her on TV, and he needed money. She says, and Violet had nothing. I mean, she had little tiny pittance of a Social Security pension and lived there in that subsidized apartment. And she was thinking, I got to figure somehow, I got to come up with some money because this guy needs a bigger jet. Or what? I mean, it was just like, Violet, don't do that. They don't need it. They just want your money. They're not using it for God. They're using it for themselves. And it's like they have no shame. No respect for the scriptures, no respect for believers who sincerely want to serve God. And so, as the church age comes, many think, to an end, I haven't had a chance to look at it, but Dr. David Jeremiah's got this thing on Facebook about, are we in the last times? It would be interesting to, I haven't heard it, but it's, I'm planning on. But, interesting, are we in the last days? When we see the way the world is accelerating in wickedness, in this desire for perversion that is going on, and you just think, you know, the way we're going, and you've heard this said before, God's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology for what's going on in this country and around the world. But Jude is a warning to us all about murmuring and complaining or finding fault. Let me say it this way. God hates it. He hated it in the Old Testament. He hates it in the New Testament. We are not to be murmurers and complainers. We are to be building up each other, supporting one another, praying for one another, not finding fault. And I'm not saying that we do that here, but we all need to be aware that that's not what we need to be doing. And you think, well, you know, this apostates and their lust for things, you know, that sounds like an exaggeration. But I think it was about 5 years ago now, there was a church in town that the lead pastor was retiring. And a bunch of the people got together that were in the congregation, and they went out and found them a new head pastor. And they brought this guy in, and he got all the old staff together that was left there, the assistant preacher and the kids preacher and all those that had a part. And he got them together, and he said, well, folks, this is the way it is. It's either my way or the highway. And we're going to do things my way. And the secretary of that church was telling others, he said, they're having me pay bills that have nothing to do with the church. He said, I'm paying for golf. I'm paying for hotels for 3 or 4 days during the week, where they're taking all these trips and everything. So, and nothing to do with the work of the church. And these guys are, and the next thing you know, they're spending money for other things that have nothing to do with the work of God. And you think, it doesn't happen. It does happen. And this pastor was going to do things his way, and he liked to spend money. And so it's not unknown, even in Lawrence, Kansas, where you get some people in the pulpit and they know how to enjoy life at the expense of the Lord's people. So apostasy is real, and I think we see preaching that's going on today, activities that are supported by the churches where are anti-scriptural. It is about us. And so what is our job? Our job is to love the Lord, to serve Him, to love one another, care for one another, preach the Word, care for lost souls, and the Lord will take care of the rest. We just want to love Jesus and make Him number one in our life. And that in here, in this place, just like it says on the wall, in all things, He will have the preeminence. Father, we thank You for the teaching that we have from Jude, who alerts us to the fact that there are those who would come in among us and are not believers, and that come in and could cause all kinds of difficulties in the church. But I just pray that, you know, we would understand, be aware of this, that we would, in our love for one another, we would not find fault, we would not murmur or complain, but that we would be here to build each other up. Because, Lord, we need it. We are just frail people saved by the grace of God. And we want to be a blessing to all that we are around. We just thank You for Your love and care for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.